You're listening to Love Letters, a Hill City Church teaching series that examines the pastoral letters of John, the disciple who Jesus loved. We hope and pray that as you listen in, the life and light of Jesus will stir your heart to love him who first loved us. This series, along with various other messages and media content, can be found at www.hillcitychurch.org.
This morning's word comes from 1 John chapter 5, starting at verse 6 through to verse 12. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater, for this is the testimony of God, that he has been born concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Amen.
Well, good morning again, guys. Good to see you. You know what? It really doesn't matter that we're the only ones here, because God is in control all the time. And this morning, even up to now, we just sung some awesome things, don't you think? Our God reigns. You know what I was thinking when I was singing that? There's never been a millisecond in all history, in all eternity, that God hasn't reigned. He has reigned all the time. He will always reign. There will never be a moment when God doesn't reign. Do you know that? In your life this morning, God reigns. Do you know he's sovereign over everything? He holds the stars in the sky by the word of his power, the Bible says. And you know what? The other song we sung? He numbers all the stars, and he knows everyone by name. Now, when the guys who wrote that in the Bible, they probably looked up and they probably saw a few stars. But we know actually now how, not exactly, but roughly how many stars there are. You know, there's over a billion stars in our galaxy, and there's over a billion galaxies, a billion times a billion. And our God, your God, knows the name of every single one. And he cares about you. He cares about you this morning. And God wants to speak. And God has ordained that he speaks to me this morning. And it doesn't matter how many people are here. You can hear from God this morning. And more than that, we need to hear from God. We need to hear from him this morning. So let's just have a moment of quiet. And I'm going to pray. And I'm going to ask God to speak. Because I believe that he's a God who speaks. Let's pray. Father, we come before you just in awe again that you're such an awesome God and that you want to speak to us this morning. I pray, Lord, that you give us focus and concentration just in this small time, this short time that we have together. That we'd just be gripped again by the awesome truths of your word, gripped again by the awesome truth of who Jesus is. And that we'd be changed, Lord. That we want to be more like you. We want to start getting our mind focused on your Son. And we just pray, Lord, that he'd be glorified this morning. And that we'd be changed for your glory, Lord. Amen. Right. This sermon this morning is split into four parts. Actually, I can't lie. It's five, but I've said four, and I'm going to sneak a sneaky five in at the end. So the four I couldn't lie. Right, the four parts of this: one, intro; two, testimony of the three; three, testimony of man; and four, the testimony of God. And the title of the sermon this morning is God's Testimony. Bit of a mad title, but God does have a testimony. Okay, right, we'll crack straight on with the intro. This is what it says in verse 6. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. You know, this passage, this section is all about Jesus. In fact, the whole Bible is all about Jesus. And if you haven't guessed it by now, Hill City is all about Jesus. Okay, Di talks about Jesus, I talk about Jesus, Pete talks about Jesus. Everyone who's involved talks about Jesus. We had a soul sessions a couple of weeks ago, and one of the main reasons that I loved it so much was because everybody who opened their mouth just talked about Jesus. And this section is about Jesus. You know what, as a church, guys, if like anything or anyone ever gets more important than Jesus, then we need to be like rebuked. We need to be brought back into line. You know, me and Di and Pete and people preaching aren't in competition. We're all lifting up Jesus. We're all about like Jesus. That's it. And this passage is all about Jesus specifically. Next thing. It's about Jesus Christ. Okay, and not like, believe it or not, okay, Christ isn't Jesus's, you're all laughing because you've seen the next point, isn't it? But Christ isn't Jesus's surname, okay? His name wasn't like Jesus Christ, okay? It's a title that's given to Jesus. And I have to do a mega rewind, okay, quickly on this, right back to the beginning of time. Okay, in the beginning, like, God spoke and the whole universe came into existence. And everything was good, the Bible said. The last thing he did was he made man and woman, and he put them in the Garden of Eden. And everything was good, and that was the way things were meant to be. Guys, that is the way things are meant to be. People, human beings, are meant to be in a relationship with God. That is like the way things should be. And God said you can do whatever you want to these first two humans, except eat from the knowledge, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You can do anything you want except that one thing. And what did they do? They ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that stuffed everything up. Big time. Sin came into the world. Disobedience. And they were banished from the garden. God had to like kill an innocent animal. So we don't know what it was, but to make skins for them, to cover them, to cover their shame. And you know, ever since, everybody who's ever been born has sinned and fallen short of God's glory. We all have. That's why the world's in such a mess. Because of sin. Sin's just a terrible thing. But in Genesis chapter 3, God gives an awesome promise. The first promise of one who's going to come and save people from their sins. And that's Jesus. And Christ means Savior. It means anointed one. It's the one who came from God to save people from their sins. And all through the Old Testament, all through the Bible, the prophets have spoke about Jesus, this one who's going to come. Moses said, a prophet's going to come who's greater than I. And the whole of the Old Testament is leading up to the coming of this Messiah, Jesus. So when John says this section is about Jesus Christ, it's talking about Jesus, the one who came to save. Jesus, the Savior of the world. And that's mega important, as we'll see as we move on. The next thing you probably say, and I'll just read it. It says, this is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. Now, there, you've got to ask the question, what the dickens is the water and the blood, haven't you? Like, come on, like, you know, even like great men of God throughout history have like got different opinions about this. And I'm not going to stand up here this morning and say, oh, mine's right. Because, for example, okay, Martin Luther, if you haven't heard of him, like, find out. And Calvin, John Calvin, okay, same, repeat. They both thought the water and the blood was like the baptism and communion. Okay, which is fair enough. Other people say that maybe the water and the blood like represent when Jesus was on the cross and the centurion pierced his side, the water and the blood came out of his side. Some people say it was that. Other people say that the water represents Jesus' baptism. But here's where I'm going to like come from this morning. I personally, and like, you know, I'm not going to like get that vexed if you've got a different opinion. But personally, I think the water is talking about the birth of Jesus, okay? Like, when somebody's born, lots of water comes out, okay? It's a crazy thing, like, the water's great. And I believe it's saying, representing Jesus' birth, that he came by water, he was born. And the blood, there's not too much debate on that, but blood normally signifies death. And, you know, it's not good to be losing too much blood. Blood normally is talking about death, and I believe that the blood is representing Jesus' death. So you've got his birth and the death. But, you know, I'm not against you correcting me on that. That's fine. The most important thing comes on later on. But we'll go with that this morning, and we'll move on to the next point. It says, the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. This is the testimony of the three. Who are the three? Well, the first person we see is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is the one who testifies. He's the Spirit of truth. And you know what? There's loads of voices all around. Like Di was just about to preach the other week before he changed his sermon. There's loads of voices around. And like they'll all say different things. And we have a choice as people which ones to listen to. Let me tell you, right? The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He always tells the truth. And nowadays, you've got to watch it, guys, because lots of people are going to come and say, like, oh, I believe the Spirit says this, I believe the Spirit this and that. But you know what? You can tell, like, what the Holy Spirit will say. He will always testify of Jesus. He will always glorify Jesus. He will never say anything that contradicts what's in the Bible. You know, he will always tell the truth. And the truth is in the Bible. But there's two others that testify as well. Well, actually, first off, we'll say, what does testify mean? Because it's a bit of a Christian word. You know, like, die after, I can't even do it. He's like, testify! But, like, you know, whatever. It means to bear witness. To be a witness. It means to give a good report. Or to implore someone to listen and say, you know, listen to this, this is my testimony. You know, it happens all the time in court. It's like, you know, there's witnesses who stand up to give a testimony of what they've seen. It's what someone's seen and they're given a good report. So the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is testifying that Jesus is the Christ. The Holy Spirit is saying Jesus is the one who's been promised in the Old Testament. He's the Savior of the world. And the Holy Spirit is saying that. Next one. But there's two others that testify. And we're going to take it this morning. The water is Jesus' birth and the blood is Jesus' death. Okay, so the scripture says, for there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree. Okay, so the Jesus' birth testifies that he's the Christ. Jesus' death, his blood, testifies that he's the Christ. And they agree with what the Holy Spirit says. So the next thing that we need to see and understand is, how do we know what the Holy Spirit says about Jesus' birth and death? Because they agree. The Bible says that these three agree. So let me tell you this. We know what the Holy Spirit says because the Bible says that all scripture, this whole book, is inspired by God. And in 2 Peter 1:20 to 21, it says that holy men of God were carried along by the Holy Spirit as they wrote the Bible. What that word literally means, it's like a yacht or a boat, and the sail's put out, and the wind just fills the sail and takes the boat along. That's what was happening when scripture was being written. God was speaking and carrying and filling men by his Holy Spirit to write down what is written. The whole Bible's inspired by God. It doesn't negate the people's personality, because as you can tell, like when you read John, it's quite a lot of different style to when you read Paul. Paul's more of a like linear, systematic approach, whereas John's kind of like circular, homing in on one point and going over and over things again until he gets to the main point, which you should know by now in this book, is love. But he doesn't negate their personalities. And all scripture is inspired by God. That means we need to have a look at what scripture says about Jesus' birth, because scripture has a lot to say about that and what the Holy Spirit says. And if you turn, if you want to turn, I'll turn there, to Micah. Good acronym, by the way, for remembering the minor prophets. Jesus and only Jesus makes nice happiness. Pretty good. My mum told me that. The only thing that you've got to remember with that is like the two J's, like Joel and Jonah. Need to get them the right way around. So Micah 5:2. This is what the Holy Spirit says about Jesus' birth. "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth from me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days." So the Holy Spirit says that the Messiah's birth is going to be in a place called Bethlehem. So the Holy Spirit says that. The Holy Spirit also says what the manner of the birth of the Messiah is going to be in Isaiah 7. In fact, I won't turn there, but it says, if you want to have a look, that the Messiah will be born of a virgin. Now, if you're going to make a prediction or a prophecy, okay, you know, and you want to be like known as quite being quite good, like Nostradamus or something, you'll make it as broad as possible. The Holy Spirit doesn't do that. You can't really get more precise than this. The place, and that they're going to be born of a virgin. And like, who would choose that someone be born of a virgin? That's, you know, to get that right is going to be like pretty far out, isn't it? He has to be like bang on the money to get that one right. There's no like, you know, query in that one. But the New Testament tells us the place of Jesus' birth, Bethlehem. How was Jesus born? Of a virgin. That's true, by the way. That's not just some myth. Jesus was born of a virgin. And so the Holy Spirit says that about Jesus' birth. The Bible says that about Jesus' birth. They agree. They're in agreement. And you know, I want to just bring a bit of a Christmas theme in here. But whenever Christmas starts approaching, I just start getting blown away again by Jesus' birth. I want you to think about it for a minute and just home in on this just for a second. It does my head in right when people say, "Don't take Father Christmas out of Christmas, you're taking the magic out of Christmas." You know what is taking the magic out of Christmas? Magic out of Christmas? Taking Jesus out of Christmas. Because the miracle of Christmas is that God became a baby. Doesn't that just blow you away? God himself, okay, the eternal God, Jesus, became a baby. Think about that. I just can't get my head around that. The one who flung the stars into space, like, has to learn how to move his hands. The one who never, like, needs anyone to give him anything, has put himself in a position to need to be changed and fed and brought up. And we'll go on to why he came in a bit, but that just blows me away, guys, that he was willing to do that. He was willing to be born as a man in a stinking feeding trough around animals. And he left like everything he had, like all his glory, no sin, nothing. Perfect relationship with his Father and the Spirit in an awesome relationship. And he chose to leave that to come to a rubbish earth for you. Don't ever lose that, guys. Don't ever lose that. He loves you so much that he was willing to take a human body upon himself and live on this earth for you. And the second thing is the blood, Jesus' death. What does the Holy Spirit say about Jesus' death? Well, it says a lot again, but Psalm 22 is probably one of the most well-known prophecies. We'll just turn there. Because it says a lot about Jesus' death. Again, it says the manner in which Jesus died, in verse 17 and 18. In fact, I'll start reading from verse 16. Psalm 22, verse 16. "For dogs encompass me, a company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing They cast lots. You know what? That's how Jesus died. His hands and feet were pierced. He was like nailed to a piece of wood. And people were around him mocking him. And probably the only thing that Jesus had was like his one piece like of clothing. And they cast lots for it. Like the only thing he had. And men were casting lots for it. The thing I find amazing is that these things that I've been saying, they were written like between 500 and 1,000 years before Jesus was even born. And the way he was born and the way he died was precisely like fulfilling what the Holy Spirit said before. Jesus is the Christ. He is the Saviour. You can't escape that fact that Jesus is the Saviour. And also the Holy Spirit says about Jesus' death something amazing, which is found in Isaiah 53. I'm sure like you know these scriptures. But sometimes we can get so familiar with something that we just take it for granted. This morning, I want you to substitute your name into this passage and remember, like, again, what Jesus has done. Isaiah chapter 53. I'll start reading at verse 4. And I'll substitute Jesus' name in for he. And I'll substitute my name in. But I want you to substitute your name in, okay? And I just want us to remember this morning, because this is why Jesus died. Surely Jesus has borne James's griefs and carried James's sorrows. Yet James esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But Jesus was wounded for James's transgressions. Jesus was crushed for James's iniquities. Upon Jesus was the chastisement that brought James peace, and by Jesus' stripes, James is healed. Guys, don't ever forget that. We've all fallen short of God's standard. We've all sinned. But Jesus died to take your punishment. He died to, like, bring you peace with God. He died so that the things that you've done and will do don't have to haunt you anymore. He died so that they could be wiped away. He died so that you could be made free. He died so that you could have life. He died so that you could have real life. And this is why Jesus died. And the Holy Spirit says this. And the scripture says this. And the water and the blood and the spirit, they agree. Jesus is the Christ. And this morning you can trust him. Totally. You can trust him. But I want to move on from that. Because that is an awesome thing. But the Spirit testifies of Jesus as well. And I believe that the Spirit ultimately testifies of Jesus. Because he raised him from the dead. Jesus didn't stay dead. He was risen from the dead after 3 days. And in Romans 1:4 it said, well, I'll read it so I don't misquote. It says, I'll start reading from the beginning. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart from the gospel for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand to his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Paul's saying the same thing. He promised before through the Holy Scriptures concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and what? Was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, the Holy Spirit testifies that Jesus is the Christ as he raised him from the dead, declaring that this is the one, this is the Saviour. Jesus said before, I'm going to be buried, crucified, buried, and I'm going to be raised from the dead. And that's what happened. And this is the good news. This is the gospel. This is what we bank our whole lives on, guys. This isn't just some like secondary issue. Paul says, like, this is the thing that I bring to you, which is of first importance. Nothing's more important than this. 1 Corinthians 15, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. To die, he had to be born. He was buried. And that he rose from the dead according to the scriptures. Guys, when was the last time you thanked God that he died for your sins? That he was buried and that he rose again according to the scriptures? When was the last time, guys? You know, we can thank him this morning. And then it goes on to say that he was seen by over 500 people. He was seen, like, people saw him. 500 witnesses saw him. And this like, takes us on to our next point, which is the testimony of men. We've seen how the Spirit, the water, and the blood all testify that Jesus is the Christ. He's the Saviour. And the Bible says this. If we receive the testimony of men, I'll stop there. Now, the testimony of men is accepted today, even in court. Like, you know, people give witness and their testimony is accepted. And in today's society, we live in a society which is called postmodernism, which basically means you can make up your own truth, whatever you say goes. So the great thing about testimony, guys, and your testimony, is that no one can like argue with you in a postmodern world. So make the most of your testimony. Your testimony is a precious thing. Some of the men who testified that Jesus was the Christ was James, okay, his half-brother. He didn't even used to believe. And then he believes and writes like a book in the New Testament. I'm not being funny, okay, but if one person is going to like say, no, you weren't sinless, it's going to be your brother, isn't it? Like, if you're saying, look, I'm God, the first person who's going to say, no, you're not, is your brother. Isn't it? Let's be honest. Like, what do you want about your God? Like, you're sinless. I've seen you sin all the time. But James grew up with Jesus and he believed in him. Mary, Jesus' mother. If anyone's going to say, if Benjamin, like, in 5 years' time, turns around to Naomi and says, Mom, I'm sinless, he's going to probably get a smack, isn't it? Wake up, like, no, you're not. But Jesus was sinless, and his mum, Mary, didn't have a problem with that. When Jesus was baptized, when he was 30 years old, a voice came from heaven from the Father, this is my son, in whom I'm well pleased. And the Father testifies, if you've made it 30 years without blowing it, you've made it through the hardest bit. Okay, Jesus was like sinless. And his brother and his mum, the disciples, people who spent 3 years with him, 500 witnesses, and me, and you, if you believe in him, we don't have a problem saying that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Son of God. And you know what? That is an important thing, because our testimony is important. And then now we come on to the important thing. The main thing, because it says, if we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. This is the testimony of God. God has a testimony. And this is the testimony of God that he is born concerning his son. This is God's testimony. This is God's testimony of Jesus, Jesus Christ. Verse 10. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he's not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his son. And this is the testimony, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his son. Whoever has the son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. This is just like, this is, God doesn't make it complicated. This is as simple as it gets, guys. We've gone over like some stuff where there's debate. I believe like, you know, it all makes sense. But this is really simple. And this is God's testimony. He's given us his Son. In Jesus is eternal life. You know, this really hit home a few weeks ago. And God really spoke to me through something that happened. The guys were trick-or-treating around the estate, and some of the guys knocked on the door, and they were like, "Oh, you're Christians, isn't it? You know, and like we don't do Halloween and all that." And they were like, "Yeah, but you do Christmas, isn't it? And you do Easter, isn't it?" And I was like, "Yeah, we do Christmas and Easter. Come back in a couple of days and we'll give you a free CD or whatever." But Naomi was there with Benjamin on the door talking to the kids. And they said, "Can we hold him?" Okay, like these like four kids with like scream masks on, innit? And just like, and like Benjamin has just been like only born a couple of weeks before, and they're like, "Can we hold him? Can we hold him?" And it's like, no, you can't. Naomi loved Benjamin a lot, and she didn't want to give him to a bunch of kids in scream masks. God gave the world his Son. And whether you want to admit this or not, the world is full of people with scream masks on, sinners. And God sent his Son into the world, right into the middle of this sin and shame, because he loves you so much. He was willing to give his Son to the world. And in Jesus is eternal life. Jesus is eternal life. He's the God-man. In him, the fullness of God dwelt bodily. He's the image of the invisible God. And in him is eternal life. John, in his gospel account, says that the light came into the world, the true light, and the darkness didn't comprehend it. But in him is eternal life. No one else. In no one else is there eternal life other than Jesus. He's the only one. He's the only way we can get to heaven. He's the only way that we can have eternal life. And God just makes it really clear and really blunt. If you have Jesus, you have eternal life. If you don't have Jesus, then you don't. It doesn't get any simpler than that, guys. And that's our message. If you have Jesus, you have eternal life. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have eternal life. And the question you must ask, and everyone must ask, is what does it mean to have Jesus? What does it mean to have eternal life? Well, Jesus defines eternal life for us in John 17:3. This is eternal life. These are the words of Jesus. This is eternal life. That they may know you, like the Father, and Jesus Christ whom you sent. Eternal life is knowing Jesus Christ. Eternal life is knowing Jesus Christ. And God says in his word that anyone who believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you going to believe God this morning? Or are you going to call him a liar? Because the Bible's really strong on this. And I believe most of us here this morning are saved. But these things, like, we need to know. And this is our message for other people. It's not like do better, get better, and then you can come. It's not like I believe all ways lead to heaven. It's like only in Jesus Christ is eternal life. That's it. We offer Jesus Christ and him alone. And in him is found eternal life. And if you haven't got Jesus, then you haven't got eternal life. And there's a difference between being alive and having eternal life. Everyone on this planet, like, who's alive is alive. But they're like a walking corpse. They're spiritually dead, because real life is knowing Jesus Christ. And people know there's something missing. People know there's something more to this life, because even though they're alive, they feel dead inside, and that's because they are. But knowing Christ is eternal life. And when you take Jesus out of the equation, you're robbing people of eternal life. Because Jesus is the only one who can give eternal life. The only one. No one else can. And we offer people Jesus in this church. We offer people Jesus. And if we haven't got him, you're a hypocrite if you offer him. Have you got him? Do you know Jesus Christ? Or in the language of the Bible, are you calling God a liar? Because I don't care what anyone says. There's no fence. In the middle, there's no middle ground. Either you know Jesus or you don't. There's no sitting on the fence. The fence is in hell. The fence is in hell. You either know Jesus Christ or you don't. And that's the truth this morning. Do you know him? Do you know Jesus Christ? I don't have to think about whether I know Naomi. I'm in a relationship with her. You either know Jesus or you don't. And this brings us on to the last thing. The one I sneaked in. Your testimony. See, lots of people may believe that Jesus was born of a virgin, that he died, even died for their sins. They might believe what the Bible says. They've heard what other people say. They've, like people you're witnessing to in your like work or your school or your uni, they've heard what you say. And they may even believe that that's true. Yeah, I can see it. I can see there's a change in their life. But they haven't got their own testimony. The queue into heaven is single file. You can't ride in on anyone's coattails. You can't stand next to anyone and say, I'm with him. You and God, have you got your own testimony? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Because this is the way the passage goes. The Holy Spirit testifies Jesus is the Christ. These other people have said that Jesus is the Christ. Now what about you? What about you? Have you got your own testimony? Was there a day when Jesus met with you? Do you know him? Do you know him, saints? Because this is the most important thing in the whole world. Whether or not you know Jesus Christ. There is no more important thing than this. And you need to have that testimony in yourself. I'm going to nick a verse from whoever's preaching next week. Verse 13. John says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That you may know that you have eternal life. How do you receive this eternal life? John says in his gospel account in chapter 1, anyone who receives Jesus Christ, he gives the privilege, the power, the right to become children of God. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Have you called on him to say, Jesus, save me. I want my own testimony. I want to know you. I don't want to mess around anymore. I want to know you personally. And the Bible says that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you believe him? Or will you call him a liar? Will we as a church believe him? Or will we call him a liar? Because this is the most important thing that we could ever think about. And the awesome thing is that if you receive Jesus into your life, if you believe God, if you turn away from everything you know to be wrong and turn to Christ who can save you, then God will send his Spirit, the Holy Spirit that we've been talking about, who we've been talking about, who testifies all through the Scripture that Jesus is the Christ, the same Holy Spirit. God will send him to live in you, the Spirit of Jesus. That's what it means to have Jesus. Jesus living inside you by his Spirit. You, God living in you by his Spirit. And the Holy Spirit testifies to God's children, you're His. The Holy Spirit says, you're my child. And He sheds God's love abroad in your heart so that you cry out, Abba, Father. We can say, God, you're my Father. I believe your word. I don't believe that you're a liar. I believe that Jesus died for me. And I have your Holy Spirit living in me that tells me that I'm yours. And there's nothing greater than that. There's nothing greater than that this morning, guys. I freely confess, this is quite an evangelistic sermon. But these truths, if you're a Christian, should just grip you. They should set you on fire again. That you can be called a child of God. That you have eternal life. A life that will never end. And that more than that, that starts now. You have Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is being formed in you. And people can see Him in you. And you take Him where you go. And He works in your life. And He's for you. And the Spirit says, you're my child. And you're going to heaven. And no one can stop that. No one can change that. Guys, this Christmas, remember that God has given us eternal life. This life's in His Son. And if you're in Him and you know Him, you're going to heaven and no one can stop you. No one. This Christmas, guys, remember that. And rejoice, just rejoice in Him. Jesus said to like 70 disciples who went out casting out demons and stuff, when they came back and they said, Jesus, this is awesome. Even demons are like subject to us. You would have thought that Jesus would have said something like, that's cool, guys. You know, keep going. But He didn't say that. He said, don't rejoice in those things. Rejoice in this. That your names are written in heaven. Rejoice in that. And your names are written in heaven if you believed in the Son of God. Rejoice in that, guys, this morning. Rejoice in that forever. Never stop doing that. Because He loves you. I'm going to pray, and then I don't know if we're going to have another song or not. No? Just have some tea and coffee or whatever. Let's pray. Father, just thank you for this short time we've had to just open up your word. Lord, we understand that we can't understand anything without you. Lord, I pray that any single thing that was said that was good would just take root in people's hearts, that it would encourage, that it would correct us, Lord, and rebuke us where necessary, but it would encourage us. That you love us and that you're for us and that you're God in whom you cannot lie. You cannot lie. And you've said anyone who believes in your Son Jesus has eternal life. We believe you this morning. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came into this world of sin and shame to die for us. We thank you that eternal life is a thing that can never be taken from us. And we thank you, Lord, for our brothers and sisters here. And we just thank you for our family. Lord, we just ask that you bring people who aren't here next week because we need them. We need our family. It feels like part of our body is missing, Lord. And that's because it is. And I pray, Lord, that you bring us together and you knit us together in love and that we continue growing. I thank you, Lord, that you're moving in this estate. You're moving in our lives, even though the numbers are small this morning. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you that you've spoken to us. And I just ask that you'd be with us in this week and even the rest of the day until we can come together next time and hear from you. In Jesus' name.